Advices Radio Network.
Advices Radio is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The opinions of the host are not meant to be taken as medical advice. If you have a health concern, see a doctor immediately.
When it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
The wrong advices.
Look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, let them all die from saturation.
Welcome back to Advices Radio. I'm your host, Scott, and with me today, back again, he was with me on episode 2. He's a fellow prep coach, he's a hardworking bodybuilder, and he's a friend of mine, Bill Toko. Bill, thanks for being here, man.
How you doing, Scott? Good to be back.
Yeah, good to have you. So
it's episode 2.
Yeah, all the way back to episode 2. I bet that we have some listeners that haven't dug that far back in the archive, so they might not have heard you yet. So
probably not.
For all of them, this might be their first introduction to you. So how you doing today, man?
I'm doing good. I'm just kind of in the afterglow of some post-workout with Shelby today. We did shoulders and triceps, and then at the very end of the workout, he does a little extra thing for chest, and I do a little extra thing for rhomboids and upper back.
Okay.
So kind of split off at the end and attack our weaknesses at the end there.
So for anybody who, you know, if they listen to Bodybuilding Nerds Radio, and some of them might know from the shows here, but, you know, Bill and Shelby Starnes, myself, and VJ Peary all trained together on back day. And Bill is Shelby Starnes' training partner for the rest of the week, too. So just to kind of fill everybody in, Bill gets the firsthand knowledge of what's happening, we'll say, like you know, in the garage where the work's getting done, right?
Oh, yeah. Getting greasy in the garage.
So yeah. Tell
there's
me.
A lot of grease in the training pit when we train, man, I'll tell you.
Yeah, especially if I'm there because I do a whole lot of sweating. So,
oh, yeah, you do sweat a lot.
Dude, this last week was exceptionally sweaty, I'll tell you.
Yeah, wet and sweaty.
Wet and sweaty and greasy. That describes our crew.
Sounds like the beginning of a porno.
Exactly. So you were saying that you do some extra work for rhomboids, and was it something else too?
Yeah, just basically across the top of my upper back. It just gives me a chance to hit back kind of again with a little bit more frequency, but I'm not hitting, like, say, lats too much. And because we basically hit a lot of lats on Wednesday when we do back.
Yeah.
So I'm only getting that, like, basically 48-hour turnaround. So it's a little bit more rhomboidy. It's usually like a rest pause or a 6x4, and then that's it. Just one exercise at the end of shoulders and triceps. And then Shelby does a 6x4 of some kind of, usually some kind of fly on a cable or a machine for chest.
Okay.
This needs to bring that up, and I need to bring my back up, so.
Okay. And everybody here at Advices is familiar, you know, with the 6x4 method, because we here at Advices, we call them muscle rounds, because our beloved Dr. Scott Stevenson came up with this idea. And they're killer, man, aren't they?
Yeah, I love them. We incorporated them into a lot of the stuff we've done in the off season, his stuff, Dr. Scott, it's funny that he's Dr. Scott. Cause when I was a kid, my pediatrician was Dr. Scott.
Yeah. It's a different Dr. Scott, or was it the same one?
No, it was a different, he would have to be way older, man. Cause I'm around the same age as him, aren't I?
I think so. Yeah. I believe you guys are about the same age.
Yeah. So we're old. So, yeah, we incorporated a lot of Scott's stuff, 6x4, along with Jordan Peters, some of his methods, and then, of course, John Meadows as well, and kind of made like a hybrid situation out of all of it to kind of suit our needs as far as what we needed to do this offseason, bringing up lagging body parts, and then also taking into consideration our age, too, and our recoverability, which has to kind of match up with the routine you're doing. Yeah. So put all those together, and it's usually a good recipe for getting some stuff done.
I feel like, you know, when you do start to get a little older, when you get into like mid-30s and beyond, Recovery is, it becomes more of the forefront as far as, you know, determining what you're going to do, how you're going to carry things out. But realistically, I feel like everybody could benefit from paying more attention to it. And maybe it's just that the younger guys don't, because, you know, if they don't get it down right and they do overtrain, that maybe they won't see as good a progress, which they might not realize, but they might be able to kind of get away with it without getting hurt. Versus for me, I know I'm a lot more likely at this stage, you know, the being older now, that I will get hurt, you know, if I were to push things too hard for too long.
I definitely think there's a correlation between age, recover, you know, getting, I'll, you know, recover too, I guess. But again, if you have some crazy genetics and you're older, you could still recover fast. So can't say it's like encompasses everything across the board. But as you get north of 35, I think that your recoverability definitely does take a hit. So you have to be kind of cognizant of that fact and factor that in when you're, you know, making up your plan. But on the other end, I have some people that I work with and they are in the gym like 6 to 7 days a week. And some of them are on the older side. They're just have a hard time mentally staying out of the gym.
Yeah.
And I try to, you know, talk to them and explain to them, hey, just try this for a while and see if you get better results. And then you'll know, hey, okay, cutting back's okay.
Yeah.
You know,
it's hard to do. I mean, I hate to say it, but I can relate to that. If I had my way, I would probably train every day. But if I train hard, I just can't do it, you know?
Yeah. I can't imagine. I used to train 5 days a week a little bit before me and Shelby started training together. And I can't even imagine just adding one more day in, which would be 5 days a week. We're at four now.
Yeah.
It would just seem really difficult because I'm really beat up and just spent after these workouts, so I kind of need that day in between. We do have one workout that's back to back, and that's when we do the shoulders and triceps. Our next day going into that is legs, but it's not like we're doing back and then legs, you know, or something. Right. Like that, so
yeah, shoulders and triceps are both kind of, you know, easier. They're small. I think size plays a role in how well or how quickly you're going to recover. You know,
I agree.
So, you know, back on episode 2, our topic was about the importance of staying focused in the off season. And the reason I wanted to bring you on to talk about that back then was because to me, you were a really good example of somebody who has stayed super focused in the off season. You treat it just like anybody else would treat that last 8 weeks of contest prep. And I find that to be really admirable. And it's something that I really look up to. So that was the reason we wanted to bring you back on then. And it just so happened you had finished your contest season at that time. So you were just kind of rolling in to the off season. And now we're going to kind of bookend things. We are at the other end of the spectrum. You know, you're not dieting yet, but you're what, 29 weeks out as of tomorrow, right?
Yes, 29 weeks out.
So it looks like now we're at a point where you're thinking more about, you know, getting into that contest season. We could kind of call this like, you know, preseason almost, where, you know, you're probably, I'm going to guess, you know, starting to focus on that transition. So I thought this would be a great time to bring you back in and kind of reflect on the things that you've learned this past off season, talk about, you know, what worked for you and maybe talk about some of the things that may not have worked, because, you know, although this is going to be kind of like a case study and we're specifically talking about one person, I feel like these types of things are great information that we can all learn from.
Oh yeah. I think that, as far as transitioning to the, pre-contest phase, I can definitely see the finish line now of the off season. And the funny thing is there's a saying, an old saying in India, maybe Vijay might know this. I don't know. I don't think I've ever asked them this, but you know, you're climbing that mountain and you get to the top of the mountain. It's like, I mean, it seems like it took you forever to get there.
Yeah.
And you look up and you're at the top of the mountain and you look at that horizon line out there. And I'll just throw a little caveat in there. When you look at the horizon line, horizon comes from the word horizontal, right? So that means flat.
Yeah, okay.
When you look at that horizon line, It's straight and flat, not curved. A lot of people want to make you believe that when they get up on something high that the earth is curved, but usually that's with a GoPro or some kind of Photoshop. But that's another story for another time. So basically, you get up to that top of that mountain after just, you know, almost dying. And in India, they say, and there's another mountain. But here, I'm actually at that last mountain, and I can see the finish line. And in about 9 weeks, we'll start my diet and start on a base plan and go from there.
Nice, nice. Well, that's pretty cool to hear, man. What were the main things that you were attempting to focus on during this off season?
As I have the last couple years, was quad sweep in my legs, just overall really size in my legs as well.
Okay.
And also back thickness. So those are the two things that have come up in the last couple years, and gladly this year, both of those things have come up again.
Nice.
And, those are the two things I've noticed that have grown the most, and that's what I really needed. So it's definitely a step in the right direction.
So tell me to start here, what's your leg workout like? I mean, I've gotten to tag along on a couple of Shelby Starnes leg workouts. They're not for the faint of heart, that's for sure. Day in, day out, tell me about leg day.
Well, first of all, before even getting into any kind of setups or exercises or duration or rep ranges or anything like that, I think leg day, it's a whole different kind of thing. Our workouts are really serious, you know, 1 through 4, you know, being 4 workouts a week. The only time we really talk to each other in our workouts, me and Shelby, when we're training, is it's about the workout or, hey, put a 10 on or, you know, do this or do that. It's really serious. But on leg day, the whole tone starts probably when you wake up or the night before on legs. It's a whole different kind of atmosphere when you get in there. And you can really – it's really something tangible that you can feel and almost see in the gym when we get there for legs.
I'm kind of getting chills over here, honestly. Oh, well, I know the feel.
Really being serious, because there's a couple reasons. One, we know that it's going to be physically challenging. Number two, you can get seriously hurt training legs. Not just maybe with someone that's just, you know, screwing around, having a party, doing some leg extensions, but the things we do, there is a lot of things that you need to be cognizant of, because you can get hurt.
Yeah.
So it kind of gives you obviously another aspect to look at, is your safety. Besides the workout being really hard, like, you know, I mean, I can be honest, there's many times in these leg workouts where, you know, somewhere during the workout, I would take a knee somewhere quietly and pray. And that's no joke. So I guess you can tell it's pretty serious when we train legs.
No, I hear you, man. And like I was starting to say too, that it kind of gives me like a little bit of goosebumps, because I know what you're talking about. And it's something that I guess that if people can relate, they're 100% with you right now. If they can't, they just can't. You know, that's something I feel like that level of intensity, I don't know where it comes from, but I don't know if it's something that you can teach somebody. It's just either something that you're born with, or, you know, something that you don't have. And my thought is, it's because you care so much about what you're doing, and you recognize how much work it really takes to make the changes you want to see.
Yeah, it's you do. I think you do. You really do have to care. Number one, because if you didn't care, you wouldn't be there. And if you were half-assing it, you wouldn't be putting that much thought and you know, intensity of your mind into everything. Because, you know, mentally, it's a big part of the workout. Having a strong mind. So you definitely have to be firing on all cylinders mentally and physically. But I think a lot of it is mental. I think probably 90% of it's mental.
Sure.
So you know, if you basically believe that you can do something, you're probably right. And if you believe you can't do something, you're probably right as well.
Yeah. So I know that training has been pushed back a little earlier now. You know, we had been training around 2:30. Now training is at 12:30, and I assume that's still true for legs, right?
Yeah, which I kind of like that. That's you kind of get done a little bit earlier in the day. And I'm sure for you, because you're coming a little bit further from the gym, that it's definitely better with traffic leaving earlier.
Absolutely. Yeah, when if we start at 12:30 and we go home around 3 or 4, four, that's perfect because it's before rush hour. But the reason I was getting at that was, I'm just trying to picture, because you said that the preparation for this day starts even the night before, and I know what it's like. You know, I also train legs on Saturdays. I usually start just a little bit after you guys. I've always trained at 1 o'clock is kind of my time to start. So if you guys are training at 12:30, what time do you wake up and how many meals are you getting in before you actually walk in the gym?
Okay, so night before setup, in the off season, as I have a cheat meal on Friday night,
Okay.
and as far as ranges for that, as far as carbs go, it's usually anywhere between 250 and 350. And I usually have that Friday night because I'm training legs Saturday, and that usually makes sure that all my glycogen, stores are fueled up and ready to go for the next day, and I feel strong.
Sure.
So basically, after that comes the morning. Now, as far as the meals, now the funny thing is I basically, no matter what time we would train, I mean, obviously, if it was earlier, way earlier, I wouldn't be able to do this, but even when we were doing 2:30 opposed to 12:30, I'm still getting 3 meals in before the training session, because I think for me, that's what I'm going to feel strongest and best at, is 3 meals.
Okay.
So what I did is I just started waking up a little bit earlier when we moved the training session up to 12:30.
Okay.
Maybe not waking up earlier, but having my first meal like a little bit sooner, or at least about an hour and a half sooner than before.
So you might not eat, or before this, you might not have eaten right when you wake up.
Right. Yeah, I might get some work done and stuff like that, and take care of the dogs and whatnot, and then, and then eat. Now I'm pretty much eating pretty soon after I wake up, and just a few minor things around the house.
Okay. So I think this is already an important factor we're looking at here. You know, when we're talking about focusing in your off season, you see everybody who's posting up all these different cheat meal pictures and all this, quote unquote, fun food that they're eating. You're still eating with a purpose. You might be eating something that's not on your normal meal plan, but you're fueling your body so that you could be your best the following morning slash afternoon for leg day.
Yeah, I see a lot of those pictures on social media every day, man. I see them.
Yeah.
I see them sometimes from the same people, and all they do is post food. And, it's just, yeah, it's crazy.
They love the food. It's a popular topic.
Yeah.
So if you're getting in 3 meals before you get started, how soon do you like to eat before you train? Because I know this varies for everybody. Our speed of digestion is a little bit different. So I know some people that want to eat as soon as, 1 hour before they get under the bar, and other people need two on leg day.
Yeah, even leg day is the same as everything else. I treat it all the same as far as the meal timing, because I don't have any, stomach issues eating close to the workout. So I always start my pre-workout meal, no matter what body part it is, 50, that's 50 minutes out
Okay.
from a workout. And then I take my pre-workout 40 minutes out from a workout.
So, what kind of foods do you like pre-workout? Because I'm going to assume 50 minutes out that it's going to be a little bit quicker digesting. It's something
Well,
that's not going to
sure.
sit heavy, right?
Now, I usually have some kind of a lean protein source, because usually that's what my meal three ends up being, is a lean protein source, meaning chicken, maybe like some kind of shrimp or turkey. And then I usually have white rice
Okay.
as my carb source, and usually almonds or walnuts for my fat.
Okay.
So it's nothing too heavy, nothing like red meat or a lot of beef or anything, but
Yeah.
I've tried that before too, and it didn't bother me, so I can't say that's wrong either.
Are you using any kind of pre-workout then? Or I'm sorry, intra-workout then?
Yeah, actually right now, currently I am using Matt Porter's Muscle Intrusion, and then I have some 360 cut, some BCAAs and essential amino acids that I throw in there.
Okay.
That's more for flavoring, but it's tasty tastes really good.
Yeah.
But I don't overdo the intro workout. I've cut back in the last couple of years as an experiment. I know that we talked about it before, but I started lowering my dosages last year with that, and I've continued that a little bit more this year because last year everything worked fine. I still grew at a good rate. So I figured, oh, let's just lower just a tad bit and see, and everything's been still good. I think I was overdoing it probably about 3 years ago. I was using, I think, a little bit too much.
Yeah, what was a little bit too much?
I think, like, some days it was, like, between 100 and 125 grams, which is a lot.
Yeah.
Especially, like, on legs, it'd be, like, 100, north of 100.
I was right there with you, man. I was doing the same thing. So how much are you using now, and how many carbs are in that solid food meal before you train?
On that solid food meal before I train, 40 grams of carbs, 55 grams of protein, and 14 grams of fat.
Okay. So listen, I got to tell everybody too, I feel like some people say, they're like, oh, you know what? Nobody wants to hear the sets and reps, and nobody wants to hear how many grams of protein somebody's eating. I do personally. Like, I love this stuff. So if we're losing listeners now, if you don't like this stuff, I understand. Carry on. We shall be back. But this, I'm sorry, I'm just going to love the rest of this episode. And this is what it's going to be, because this stuff entertains me. I mean, and this is how I learn, you know.
Hearing whatever questions you ask me, I'm going to try to answer my best ability. So well,
thank you. And what are you weighing right now for your off season?
224 and a half.
Okay. And now you've held there for some time, right?
Yes. Yeah. I am probably around the same weight I was last year at this time, except I'm leaner at this weight than I was last year.
Okay.
And that's not by trying to be leaner either.
Okay.
So I'm not trying to be lean. I think for me, actually, Shelby had put a great post up about a month ago on Facebook. And it was a list of things that I think this was number two or three on the list. You know, feel comfortable at a body weight or a body fat level in the off season for you. That's going to work for you, you know? And basically I just equate that to being strong in the gym, being able to push through your workouts, be able to move more weight with, you know, the same precision and, immaculate form, you know, not to change your form, but to be able to push more weight, you know? So for me, I have to have a little bit more body fat on me, and I have to have a little bit more carbs in me. And I don't really like looking like that. I think because I'm vain, one. So I think that for me, it's not so comfortable, but I know the finished product's going to be a lot better. And I think that this ties into with what you were talking about before is being focused in the off season. One thing I was going to say about that is that when I was on the last podcast, I was just coming off a contest, and I was thinking, you know, okay, I know I'm going to get to a point here in a few weeks where I start to put on body fat and I don't like it, but it's going to be necessary for me to make that next step up with my physique, you know? So it's a long process. You have to do it day in and day out. And it seems like, you know, when you're talking about, you know, 12 or 13 months of that, because I had a longer off season this year, about a year and a half, it seems like it never ends, and you have to hold a body weight that you might not look or feel comfortable at.
Yeah,
but it's part of the game plan. And I think that that's where people go wrong. They quit in the middle of that, and they sometimes get into a contest diet, and it's so hard they quit in the middle of that. So it can go both ways of the spectrum, off season, pre-contest, when you reach your limit and you just don't want to do it anymore. But if you want to be good, if you want to improve, then you do it. You stick it out. You know, there's no basically turning back. Just like in a pre-contest diet, once I get my meal plan from Shelby, because he does my nutrition, okay, then I know what meals 1 through 6, and a lot of times meal through 1 through 7, it starts sometimes. In the beginning, I know exactly, okay, this is what it is. And I don't even think about cheating.
Yeah.
It just doesn't enter my mind, because if I cheat, then I think for me, it's just, it's done. It's over. Why go on the show? You know? So I take it like that, and it makes me stick to it.
I think your relationship to food is pretty awesome as far as our purposes for bodybuilding goes. Because, I mean, when I first met you, you were getting ready when we, I had known you longer, but when we first became friends, you were sending me pictures as you were getting ready for a contest. And then you were like, here, check this out. I'm about to get a cheat meal tonight. And then you would show me the cheat meal and then show me your pictures after you ate it. And you're like all blowing up and veiny and stuff. But your cheat meal was like some non-fat muffins from Trader Joe's and Amy's like vegetarian pizza or something like that.
Yeah, I got Amy's pizza waiting for me for my cheat meal tonight.
Do you?
Yeah, I can explain that stuff. It's an organic pizza. I don't know, man, what my problem is. I just think it sounds cool. Like, oh, organic. It sounds better than like Little Caesars, just cooler.
Yeah.
I think the packaging's cooler too. It's like everybody eats Little Caesars. No one knows what Amy's is. Who's Amy? Some girl next door.
But does it taste good?
Actually, you know what? It's one of the best pizzas I've ever had.
All right. Well, that's what it comes down to. It's frozen
too, which I can't understand why it tastes so good, but it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's not like a huge amount of cheese on it. It's like a thin kind of crust pizza.
Okay.
It's like a thin, just a little bit of cheese. Sometimes I even peel that off because mostly my cheat meal, it's not for fat because I get a lot of fat in my diet. It's mostly for the carbs.
Okay.
To get those extra, that extra bump.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, back kind of on track here then. So back to the workout, you know, you get in the gym and walk me through this. How do you start your workouts?
So basically the first thing that we usually do is some sort of a hamstring exercise.
Okay.
Either a lying leg curl or a seated leg curl, and many variations in between those two exercises that we currently do. I mean, a lot of times it could be, you know, four straight sets of 15 reps with a really heavy weight to where that 15th rep is really hard and just no extra stuff. Sometimes it could be 15 reps for three sets, and on that fourth set, we do five forced reps and then 20 partials. Mm. I mean, there's so many variations, but the main thing is, yes, we do start with hamstrings, and I think that doing that over the last 3 years has helped me feel comfortable when I get to quads because, number one, you have a big cushion of blood back there,
yeah,
and it feels like you're almost pushing off a cushion. I think it gets blood in that area. It's definitely a lot safer. I think that if I just had to go right in and start squatting, it'd be a little bit difficult for me. So the first thing we do is start with hamstrings. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that. If you do that, I think you do.
I do. Yeah. Okay. You know what? I had always done it to an extent, but after having trained with Shelby, I started adopting it more. I hadn't been using the kind of control in my hamstring work that you guys use, like what you're talking about, like squeezing reps or forced reps. I hadn't been pushing my hamstrings to the absolute limit that I could. And for me, the reason I like to do that is because hamstrings are a body part that I've wanted to bring up. And in the last 3 years since I've started doing that, they've grown really well. I feel like, yes, that it does help me. You know, I've had had 90% of the cartilage removed from my left knee and an ACL replacement in that knee as well. I don't really have a ton of knee problems. They can get kind of funky on and off. But for sure, too, the hamstring work before we do any kind of like a compound movement does make a difference. So it's kind of twofold. For me, it's pre-fatiguing, but I agree with you 100%. It definitely gets me feeling ready to do a compound movement.
Okay, let me give you just a little bit of a feel for this. You know, not that, okay, we just do leg curls or seated. When we do our opening hamstring exercise, I can give you a little bit insight of how intense it is. We've had people come train with us as guests, and some people might or may not be pros. and after that first hamstring exercise, when we're done and we do it the way we do it, they're done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I've used that with some of my clients that I actually physically train, and I have a couple of them that I actually train, and their hamstrings have exploded since they've started to really take hamstring training serious and doing it in a correct fashion. And then the third component of that is the intensity is off the charts.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's important that you're explaining this too, because I don't think that we can put enough emphasis on how intense this is.
Yeah. I mean, it's very I'll be honest with you, it's painful, you know, and not in a way that where you're getting hurt, but the muscle, you're going through a lot of pain, in the hamstrings, you know.
And it's a pain that I think a lot of us are conditioned to not expect to go through this early in the workout. They think that the hard stuff is going to happen later. You know, they think that you're going to give 100% once you start squatting or once you start leg pressing or whatever your compound movement that you're going into next is. No, you're giving 100% here so that you take it like, you know, you take it to failure, right? You know, you're really working the muscle 100% without thinking about what we're going to do next.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And I think that the way we do things, say for instance, if you just take a basic lying leg curl, what we do is that we're starting basically in the fullest stretch position as possible each rep. So it's almost a rest pause the way we do it. We straighten our legs out completely.
Yeah.
And then basically that first millimeter that you're pulling up, you're not jerking it, because basically if you start to jerk that weight, there's chances are that all the pressure is not going to be on that hamstring.
Yeah.
So basically you have to squeeze it up, but squeezing it up using the hamstring, but also you have to come up very aggressively and move the weight quickly. Now that's something you really got to think about, because if you want to bring that weight up quick, you're going to want to jerk it.
Yeah.
So you got to learn how to bring up that weight fast, but squeezing it and using just the hamstring. Now, as you go through that range and you're to the middle and then you're all the way up to the top to where it can't go any further, you're going to do a 1 second pause, squeeze your hamstring
as hard as you can.
And then on the way down, again, that first millimeter, you're lowering it with the hamstring. You don't release it and let it just come down. You're lowering it with the hamstring, and then you're doing the 3 second negative back where you started in the stretch position. So all that stuff that I just talked about, we kind of did it in a slow motion. But, you know, think about it. It's that whole rep's going to take, you know, basically 3 seconds for the negative, probably a second and a half on the positive, and then you're doing a 1 second pause at the top. I explained it took a lot longer, but if you're doing those reps like that, there's a lot of thinking that needs to be done in just one rep.
And there's a lot of feel to it, too. It's something that it took me time to figure out and to learn and to understand. You know, the way that I try to describe it is, when you're talking about moving the weight with the hamstring, when you're in that stretched position, I'll tell somebody to apply like an isometric contraction against the weight until they get it, until they're applying enough force that the weight begins to move. But as you're saying, then you need to learn how to find the strength that it takes to do that exact same thing, but do it aggressively, right?
Yes. Well, basically one thing that we preach on the positive portion of the movement is you have to be aggressive. So you want to move that weight fast, under control, but fast, because when you bring that up with more force, there's more strain and muscle damage.
Yeah.
Okay. Than just, you know, oh, la-di-da, moving at the same speed as you would your negative, which you're not going to do that. So you're going to be aggressive on the positive, and you're going to control at all times the negative. Very important, because in my opinion, if you're not controlling the negative, you're losing, you know, 40 to 50% of the exercise, in my opinion.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you know what, the explosive controlled concentric motion, I feel like that's something I didn't always have in my training, and that I've discovered, and you'll find it, that when you figure out how to push something and be explosive yet controlled with it, you get tired a lot quicker than if you're moving at a slower pace.
That you do. You can tell right off the bat that and the thing is, let's say for instance you were doing like a bench press or whatever, and it had a pretty good amount of weight on there. If you're pushing it up as fast as you can to an onlooker or even to yourself, it might not seem like the bar is going up fast, but you're trying to push it up fast.
Yeah, right, right.
So there's, you know, something you also have to think about there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one more thing I'm saying about the hamstring thing is all the technique we just talked about, there's another thing is that we're using a lot of weight. And the thing is when you put someone on this kind of protocol and have them do it a certain way or this certain way with a 3 second negative, you're getting the whole range of motion by basically rest pausing, and you're stretching all the way out, coming up with a 1 second contraction, flexing the hams. they're not going to be able to do a lot of weight at first. But what I explain to them is that when you do it this way, the proper way, and the most hardest way, eventually you're going to be able to move heavy weight doing it this way.
Yeah.
It might take you some time to get there, but we've been now doing it a long time, and we move some heavy weight. It's not light.
And you know what? Even if somebody is just starting out with this and they're not moving heavy weight, they're getting way more out of the weight than they would have been, you know?
Oh, so, absolutely.
I mean, I feel like if you're still going to failure with it, yeah, you will improve and you will get stronger, but you're making more out of it versus just using, you know, centrifugal force or, you know, not controlling things. I agree, man. So let's move on from here then. You know, you've got your hamstrings pumped up, and what are you going to go into next?
Okay, so lately we've been doing, on when we do a squat day, after either that lying leg curl setup or seated leg curl, we go into this Jordan Peters style setup, which would be some kind of a squat, free bar squat, regular, or with a safety bar squat. And how that usually works out, we usually do that right now, at least we're doing on our current program, a zigzag where we would basically do one set of squats and then we would have a 3-minute break, and then we would do either leg extensions, superset, but after that 3-minute break, or the second setup would be the squat first and then you do a superset after a 3-minute break of sissy squats.
Okay.
And okay, then now, as far as when we squat, it takes us, this is, and we've seen this over and over because we both look at the clock. When we do our first hamstring exercise and we do our squat warm-ups, getting ready to squat, it usually takes an hour. That's how much we warm up on squats.
Okay.
We're really thoroughly warmed up, you know, for many reasons, safety. And then it seems like we can move a little bit more weight when we're warmed up. And then there's obviously way less chance for injury too.
Yeah.
So I can go through what the squats look like if you want me to do that.
Sure. I mean, I don't want to, I don't want to give away everybody's, your and Shelby's secrets here, you know, to the whole routine. I do want to point out though, I think that this is a huge piece of importance here. This time factor, because a lot of people would say, like, you know, oh, you know, being in the gym for 2.5-3 hours is too long. But when you're breaking it down, I mean, realistically, it took a lot to get here, but you've only gone through, you know, 4 sets plus your warm-ups now, right?
Yeah, and sometimes on hamstrings, it'll only be 3 working sets also, so not even 4.
Okay.
But you do a lot of warm-ups on the hamstrings too, especially when it's your first exercise in period.
Sure. Do you guys ever do any type of extensions when you at the beginning of the workout?
No, unless it's called for as an actual exercise in the beginning of the workout. We've done it before, but we haven't done it in a while. But we do extensions, but when we usually do, it's either a rest pause or a 6x4 somewhere in the middle of the workout.
Okay. I'll do a few sets of extensions, but I don't even consider them working sets. They'll just be like 3 sets of 20, and it's just to kind of put some blood in the muscles. And
well, you warm up on those squats so long.
Oh, I see.
And we're just doing the bar, you know, a couple times, and then we're just doing 25 a side 3 or 4 times, you know.
Okay.
So that's our extensions.
Okay, I gotcha.
And then it's, you know, getting our nervous system used to the motion of what we're going to be doing next anyways is squatting, so.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Okay, give me an example then. What do one of your squat exercises look like?
Okay, so basically on the squats, what we do, as soon as we have that bar pulled off the rack and we step backwards and we're basically getting into our position of where we're going to squat in the squat rack, soon as we come down, again, that first millimeter, what you're doing here is we're placing the weight on our quads and we're controlling the weight right away. It's not like, oh, you dip down and then all of a sudden you control it. You're controlling it from the first millimeter, and it's a 3-second negative, and we go down as far as we can go. And then lately we've been doing 2-second pauses at the very bottom. So when you're coming up out of a 2-second pause, there is absolutely zero momentum.
Yeah.
So now what happens is once you get to the top of the movement, there's no pause at the top either. Hmm. You're just coming up all the way, and then you're right back down slow again. So you're not locking out at the top. And that's basically what our leg presses look like also, is that we're not locking out at the top. there's a 3 second negative, and on leg presses, there's usually some kind of a slight pause at the bottom of the movement when your knees are closest to your body.
That's brutal. Those pauses at the bottom are very difficult.
The thing is, you know, you start doing that, it makes it safer, it makes it harder, and then eventually you can move some serious weight doing it that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no kidding. You know what I found interesting was I've always dropped all the way down on things like, you know, my squat, my leg press, my hack squats. And the last time I was out training with Shelby, it was a week that you couldn't make it. So I filled in for you, which it was a great workout. I was happy to be there. And we stopped on the hack squat short. We stopped at about 90 degrees.
Yes.
And I found that I had a much more difficult time actually stopping the rep. It took a different type of muscle contraction to hold the rep there versus following through. My body, I'm always used to I programmed myself, you know, to go all the way down, and to stop at 90 and hold it there is brutal, man.
I think so, because you know, you're coming down and then you basically have to stop it in motion.
Yeah.
And it's almost mentally, it's a little bit sometimes harder because you're not going all the way to like your cushion basement, you know?
Yeah, right, right.
So I can see that being harder.
But I just thought of that because you're talking about these pauses that you do on the leg press and, you know, back to the squat that we're talking about. I love those too. Do you find that you're not able to use quite as much weight doing these pause reps at the bottom?
Oh yeah, most definitely. I mean, you know, you can still handle I'll tell you this, for the way the style we're doing it, it's heavy weight.
Yeah.
But could I handle more if I did it, you know, a quicker negative and everything else and no pauses? Absolutely.
Okay, because that's just a point I wanted to kind of get across here, that I know a lot of times, even at the gyms that, you know, and I'm not going to say like the super advanced guys, but I see some guys that are training that have some pretty good builds at some of the commercial gyms I go to, you know, and I think of a place like an LA Fitness or something where there are some guys that are working hard and they're able to move some decent weight, you know, that this is an opportunity for you to be able to still work your ass off and not have to put, you know, 4 or 5 plates on the bar, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know people that, you know, they tell me about their leg workout at 14 plates aside, 15 plates aside on a leg press. But, you know, I don't even know if I would want to even attempt that, even doing it like a faster style. I think that would be scary to me. And I don't think, for me at least, I would get as much out of it.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I've heard about it. Have you heard about that viral video that's been floating around of
Yeah, I saw.
Yeah, I did not see that. I don't know if I want to see it. It sounds terrifying, of a guy leg pressing and basically his knee kind of folds back at the top.
Yeah, it's funny because on Wednesday when we were at Powerhouse, when I had first come in, I was going towards the locker room. I remember this lady going, "Ah!" And she like turned her head and was like walking really fast. And I was says, "Oh," I go, "you saw the video." And then right when I moved up a couple more feet, there was someone with their phone. And I knew that's what she was talking about. I just had a feeling.
That's funny.
And sure enough, it was that video of the leg press disaster.
That's funny. The guy
snapping his leg like a bamboo twig.
So, you know, without going into too much more in depth, you know, on the workout itself, what are the other exercises that you would then follow this up with?
Sometimes right after that, it could be a hammer strength, a V squat, something maybe like a rest pause on that. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that. It's basically a squat machine, basically.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
It's pretty good. I like the way it feels because you can pretty much smash your lower back into the pad of that, and it feels really stable.
So you do it with, this is the machine where you could face away or support your back in the machine.
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
Typically we face with our back to the support.
Okay.
And sometimes it would be a rest pause on there. So basically after a couple, you know, warm-ups, you know, putting the weight progressively higher, we get a good heavy weight to where we think that, you know, if we do a rest pause, meaning that we're going to do a set, rest 20 seconds and then repeat that three times.
Okay.
We try to pick a weight where we're going to fail around 12 or 13.
Hmm.
And then, you know, we would do that, set the weight down, count to 20, and then go again. So it might look something like 12, 7, 4.
Okay.
Basically on a rest pause.
All right. And then
after that, there could be some kind of a variation of a leg press. Same thing, 3 second negatives, very controlled. It could be a 6x4 on there. It could be a 6x4 on a leg extension. It could be a myriad of things, but that's something that could follow that V squat.
Okay. Now, at this point, we're probably reaching the end of the workout. Time in total, how long have you guys been training legs recently?
Usually about two and a half hours, just because we do warm up a lot more on legs, but our times have definitely been getting quicker training.
Okay.
So, and that's something we've made a cognizant adjustment to, train a little bit quicker. And not have these like 3 hour long workouts for every workout. We've been trying to get done in 2 hours with basically everything, and then legs like 2.5.
Right on.
But you know, again, too, is we will finish with another hamstring exercise. Usually okay. stiff legged dumbbells or stiff legged deadlifts, supersetted with something, maybe a muscle round on a pull through. So we always end up coming back to the beginning and doing hamstrings to finish as well.
Okay, nice. Well, that's a hell of a workout, man. And I want to ask you then, you know, so legs were something that you've wanted to bring up. How well has this method worked? And how would you compare it to what you've done before? What was beneficial about what you're doing now?
I think one of the big things really is that we've been being very progressive and keeping track of our weights. And that's a lot of Jordan Peters stuff where you're trying to really beat what you did the time before, but we're doing it in a controlled fashion where we're not making huge jumps, but we're making small jumps every single workout and we're getting stronger, and we've done it the whole off season. So I think that's been huge in all my body parts, but especially my lacking ones being back and legs. That's really helped by getting stronger every workout. And even if it's we're putting 2.5 pounds extra or 5 or whatever it is, we've been going up, it seems like, the whole off season on everything.
That's awesome, man.
And I think the duration of the workouts being shorter has helped. And you know, toning down the volume has helped a little bit too.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool to hear. So as you were telling me that some of these jumps, they might not be too high. So let's say you're normally getting 12 reps on something and you're doing 225, you might just move that to 230 the next week for 12 reps.
Yeah, we would always try to match our reps, but use a little slightly heavier weight, and it's worked out really well.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that sounds like that could be one of the keys right there. And you know what, too, man? I feel like what you're telling me is part of that is the paying attention to, you know, your off season, because a lot of people just get more lax. They aren't paying as much attention to what they're doing. They're just getting in there, they're moving heavy stuff and, you know, going out for their cheat meal, whatever it is they want to eat. So I like what you're telling me here, man. So you keep this written down or do you memorize it in your head?
Well, this is kind of a funny part of the story. When we first started doing some of Jordan's work, I started the first couple workouts to write everything down, but then I came up with this great plan.
Now you know the plan.
And I'm like, well, I'll just have Shelby, because I know he's going to write it down, so I'll just do the same way he does on everything and try to match it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's been working out good. I mean, on some stuff, I can't match him on deadlifts and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I have to go at my own pace there, and I can remember that stuff pretty easily, you know? But everything else, I just try to match what he's doing. And one time he even said it, he's like, I've been getting stronger in all these exercises and you're doing the same stuff. So you got to be getting stronger. And I'm like, yeah, I'm getting stronger. So
it's awesome.
It's worked out good. So it's a little less hassle for me.
I love it. And that really speaks to, as well, you know, another aspect of having a good training partner. I mean, somebody to push you, you know, these are weights that, you know, he's pushing, and it's kind of like, if you ever go hiking with somebody, and it's a lot easier to hike with somebody else than it is to hike on your own. because you just kind of push each other along as you're walking.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So to bookend things here, you know, you basically took me through what your leg day has been. We talked about the nutrition all the way up to the night before, which we are recording this on a Friday. You'll be having your Amy's pizza shortly.
Yes.
to bookend things, so, you know, you get through the workout. Tell me what you do for your nutrition afterward.
Okay, so basically off season, which it's going to be at least post-workout similar to what I do pre-contest, is at the gym directly after. I have about 55 grams of whey protein isolate with about 3/4 cup of oats mixed in right into the shake with no fat. Now pre-contest, the carb would vary. Now if I'm, you know, zero carbs at the time, it's just going to be whey protein isolate, but then it will have fat. Pre-contest, there's fat basically in all my meals, and it just doesn't matter. Off season, you know, post-workout, don't put the fat in there because I want the carbs to get in a little bit faster. So that's why I do that. And then the meal after that, which is usually about an hour, because we usually spend about 40 minutes at the gym going over the workout afterwards. Yeah. So I'm usually eating about 45 minutes after. And that's basically I'm eating usually about 7 ounces of different kinds of protein. It could be either lean chicken or it could be beef. Lately, meal five, that's my post-workout meal. So you have the shake as your post-workout meal, but then there's the post-post, which is the meal that follows that. It could be 7 ounces of beef. And then carbs that way and that fifth meal, this off-season, I've been doing some a little bit higher glycemic index carbs. I've actually been using bagels for that.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So sometimes between 1.5 bagels to 2 bagels, which 2 bagels would be about 120 grams of carbs, or sometimes I'll do 1.5 depending how I'm feeling. And then meal 6 would usually be another 55 grams of whey protein isolate with fat with no carbs. And that's the same in the off season. I don't usually have carbs in my last and final meal.
Okay. Do you get into any kind of like sugar-free condiments and all that kind of stuff when you're dieting, or do you just kind of go without that extra flavor?
You know what? I use a lot of sea salt.
Okay.
But I think that's more than just a condiment. I think that's a really vital mineral for,
I agree,
especially when you're low carbs. You really need that. It helps you get a pump.
I agree.
And I think that you need to get your body almost kind of immune to salt, because at least for me, because what usually happens is we'll cut sodium usually a day before the show and then reintroduce it the morning of.
Yeah.
Really works well to fill me out and keep me really tight. So you almost have to make sure you purposely salt everything just for that 1 to 2 days that you're going to have, you know, who knows, 6, 7, 8, 9 months, 12 months away.
Right.
So I'm salty because I have to. I do like some of the Mrs. Dashes. And then as far as a sweetener, the one thing I do like, but there's a caveat to that as well, is I like stevia, but now you need to get an extract and you need to look at the back and make sure they're not putting anything else in with the stevia. Hmm. And you know this because you've looked at the back of a package of Splenda. They like to put dextrose in there.
Sure.
I can tell you why they do that. It's really simple and it makes sense, I guess, even though I can't believe they do that. It sucks. But basically, if you just had the Splenda itself in there, the sucralose, it's so small because this stuff is so sweet. It would take up barely any room in the packet.
Yeah.
That's why they add dextrose. But if you can get yourself stevia extract and you look at it, make sure that's the only ingredient, you're good, because that's not going to have any function on raising your insulin levels, which obviously you need to keep those steady, especially when you're trying to lose body fat. Very, very, very important.
Well, then let's cut things off right here, because I think I just segued us into what will eventually be part 3. And we'll have to catch up with you, Bill, during, you know, the later stages of your diet to hear how things are going as you're closing in, which, so we've got probably about 20 weeks from now. Let's hear from you again. How does that sound?
That sounds good to me.
Honestly, I'd love to have you back sooner than that. You know, we'll have to find a good reason. While I've got you here though, you know, tell me about your website and, tell me about your sponsors too.
War Room Nutrition is my website for coaching. And when you go to that, it's warroomnutrition.com, and there's a little icon on the bottom of every page for email. There's an icon for Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. So you can contact me through there. Also, I want to mention Shelby's website, ShelbyStarnes, StarnesST.com, my coach who does my diet. Also, Fit Foods RX is my meal prep company. Now, that's, I guess I can say this, but it will sound typical. I would say that it's the best one I've tried.
Yeah.
And people will say, well, you're sponsored by him. But I use this service. Actually, it's Ken Jackson, IFBB Pro.
Yeah.
His company, and I used them before I got sponsored by him, so that's how much I like the stuff. And it is the best one I've tried. It's excellent. The quality control over there is really good, and one thing I do like about them is the continuity. Everything always tastes the same. You're not going to get, oh, 1 week this meal didn't taste good, or that meal was off. And the thing is when you get to a level where you're getting really good reviews and people like the taste of your food,
yeah,
you got to keep it like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't have variations, because if you have a variation, people are going to be going, what the hell is going on? And with them, you don't have to worry about it. And when I used to get the food myself and pay for it, the first couple times I tore everything apart and weighed it, and it was right on.
Nice.
So can't go wrong there.
So you're telling me that you actually like picked all the chicken out and then picked all the sweet potato out.
Yep, I did.
Good man. Good man.
Oh yeah.
Don't just take their word on it, huh? And they were all right on with everything, huh?
Oh yeah. They're right on to the T.
That's perfect. And listen too, you know, I've got clients from time to time that don't want to take the time to prep all their food, or people that are, you know, busy with work. They don't like to, or they don't want to, or they could just afford the, you know, luxury service like that. I think it's a great idea that something like that is available. And, I think it's awesome, man. I've been over to your website recently. I love it. You know, also, you know, Bill War Room Toko on Facebook. You know, he's one of my friends, and I'll tag him in this post. So, Bill, you're always doing cool stuff. You know, we learned in the last episode, if people didn't listen to that, maybe they even heard you back on BNR, that you're also a pro skateboarder. That's kind of where you got your start in the competitive world, huh?
Yeah, I'm not retired from that. I still skate once in a while, and I'll probably skate a little bit more. After this next show, I think I might build a mini ramp in my yard.
So. Oh, no kidding, man.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, that's just something I've done my whole life, a skate. So basically since I was 7.
Yeah.
So, you know, well over 40 years now. So that's something I can quit doing.
Every once in a while, I see like a picture of Bill with like this like long skater hair that's in his eyes. Yeah. I got to tell you too, all the videos that I've seen of you and stuff, you were a badass, and you take me back to that time, you know, when you were skating, and that's when skating was super popular too. So what year was it that you turned pro?
Late 1987.
Okay.
Yeah,
skating was like so popular back then.
Yeah, I was like 18. I was pretty young for a pro.
Yeah.
So, yeah, long time ago, man.
Well, we'll have to get you back on too to talk about all of that and talk about, you know, your time living out there by Gold's Venice and stuff, man. You've had such a cool, you know, colored life. It's exciting. So I appreciate you coming back on, man. Is there anything else that we should mention while I've got you?
Yeah, I hate to do this. I shouldn't have forgot, but I do have a discount code for the meal prep. It's code at checkout. The discount code is War Room.
Okay.
Yep, all one word for fitfoodsrx.com.
Where did you come up with that name, War Room Nutrition?
You know what? I came up with it. I was looking at some old photographs of different war room situations with all these people around a table, and they're like in a smoky room.
Yeah.
I thought like, whoa, this would be cool, because it's like a situation room where you're planning your, you know, basically your attack or your, you know, survival. And I think that kind of seems like sometimes that's what you do when you're diving, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of how I came up with it.
Well, that's a cool idea, man. So,
and I know when you go to my website, which this is my whole, this is something I'd like to say, the whole point of me making a website was not really to like get clients. Now that sounds weird, but I wanted people to go to it and be like, oh, this isn't the right website. I went to the wrong website. So if you go to my website, you'll know what I mean. Is it doesn't seem like you're at some like, you know, bodybuilding, nutrition, coaching, meathead website.
No, you don't really.
No. So, and I actually, it was great because a guy told me that at the gym, he's like, yeah, I went to your website and I clicked off it. I thought it was the wrong one. And I took that as a huge compliment because that's.
I'm looking at it right now and I'm seeing a slideshow of pictures of all these guys. It looks like generals that are sitting around the war room and it looks like they're planning attack.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it has anything to do with fitness.
No, but I like it, man. I like the theme. I think it's cool. And you got some cool clothes too. I love that hoodie that I wear all the time that you gave me. It's the War Room Nutrition hoodie, man. That's badass.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw that picture I posted of Shelby in one, and it's like got a big sweat spot in the back.
I did see that. Yeah.
It's awesome, man. It's like looks like it's staged.
Yeah.
Like we sprayed him down. Yeah.
All right, man. Well, thank you for being with me tonight. I hope you enjoy your pizza, and I hope you guys have an awesome time training legs tomorrow.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for having me, and goodbye to everybody, and go research that horizontal line I'm talking about in the sky that's not curved.
All right, guys. For Advices Radio, I'm Scott McNally with Bill War Room Toko.
Woo! Break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it.
Thanks, guys, for listening to another episode of Advices Radio, only on the Advices Radio Network. Stay tuned later this week to the network for another episode of Muscle Minds. Jordan Peters, Scott Stevenson, and myself are back. We've got topics to discuss. We've got interesting questions from the message board. If you guys want to ask questions for Blood, Sweat, and Gear, Clinical Muscle, or Muscle Minds, go over to the forums at advicesradio.com and submit your question in the bodybuilding section in the stickies. All right, have a killer day. Get all your food in on time and go train your ass off.
Advices Radio Network.